Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. For 8 years, Pete Souza photographed history. Souza is a Massachusetts native, a BU alum, and served as the chief official White House photographer for President Barack Obama. He also served as an official photographer to President Ronald Reagan. Souza took almost 2 million photos of President Obama, his advisors, and family. Among them, one that shows President Obama bending over so that a 5-year-old African-American boy named Jacob can touch and feel the president's hair. Here's First Lady Michelle Obama talking about that famous photo at a Congressional Black Caucus event back in 2012.
And after touching my husband's head, the little boy exclaimed, "Yes, it does feel the same." Now, every couple of weeks, the White House photographers change out all the photos in the West Wing, except for that one.
Except for that one, which is called Hair Like Mine. And it's one of the first pictures in Pete Souza's book, Obama, An Intimate Portrait. My colleague, Meghna Chakrabarty, spoke to Pete Souza about his work, beginning with that photo, which might be the most iconic photograph of the Obama era.
Pete, can you tell us the story of how you saw that moment and how you captured that moment?
Well, I think I can't ever argue with the First Lady. She pretty much told it the way it was. But so Jacob Philadelphia, his dad, was a national security staff person, non-political. And when he was receiving his next foreign post, the president invited the family into the Oval Office for a snapshot standing in front of the desk. I think the picture resonates for a couple of reasons. One, that you have this 5-year-old kid, African-American kid, touching the head of the president of the United States who looks like him. You know, that's one. But two, I think it tells you something about Barack Obama, even though he was president of the United States, that at the behest of a 5-year-old kid, he would go ahead and bend over and let this kid touch his head.
Now, it looks like you were standing behind one of the couches in the Oval Office when you took that picture.
I can't remember exactly where I was standing, and the composition of the photo is not that great. Fortunately, I was in a position where you could clearly see Jacob's eyes.
Exactly.
And you can clearly see his hand touching the president's head. You know, it was a lucky moment in a lot of ways. And I only have one frame. I mean, it happened so fast, I clicked the camera and it was gone. The moment was gone.
So I want to ask you, you know, you had a unique view of 8 years of the White House. But through it all, and the president himself writes about this in the intro to your book, you had to make yourself invisible in documenting these pictures. I mean, how did you do that, especially when you were in, I don't know, the Situation Room, which is like kind of a small place? How did you get the images that you needed but became invisible in the act of doing so?
I mean, I think I just have this knack. I like to say I used a small footprint, meaning I used very quiet cameras. I didn't carry a lot of gear with me. I didn't use a flash or a motor drive. And I would move around quietly and not, you know, I tried never to interrupt a meeting. My job was an observer. I was not there to be a participant.
But on the other hand, you also write how, you know, you spent so much time with President Obama that you got to know him. And I'm just wondering if there are aspects of him that you got to know in the way, obviously, in the way that the rest of us in America didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I think because we shared so much time together, you know, he would often chat with me in between meetings or the beginning of the day or the end of the day. And I knew the kind of day he had just had. I could recognize that because I had been there throughout the day. He's not a different person. He's what we all think of him. That's who he is.
Hmm. Well, I want to talk about a couple of other photographs that are in the book. And an early one, just the end of January 2009, where he's, you know, he and the Obama administration is trying to grapple with the financial crisis. And yeah, it's a photo of Obama leaning back in his chair with his head on the top of the headrest. And he's just kind of looking up as if to say, like, how are we going to keep the American financial system from falling apart?
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of tense meetings at the, you know, those first couple of years trying to figure out what levers needed to be pushed to try to right the economy. I mean, people forget, you know, what bad shape we were in. In this particular frame that you refer to, someone at the table had just come up with an idea or had made a statement, and he was sort of taking it in.
He does look deeply contemplative. But this photograph makes me think, you know, he does seem rather heroic in virtually every photograph. And I'm wondering, there had to have been times, maybe many, many times, where, you know, there was this Barack Obama was feeling a sense of deep frustration or anger or, you know, I don't know, when he's dealing with the fallout of a bad decision that he'd made. I'm not seeing very many of those pictures in
here. I think if you look carefully, they're there. In terms of struggling, you know, with the economy, there's pictures that I made that were used in attack ads out of context during the presidential campaign, the reelection campaign. So I take issue with what you say. I mean, there's a picture in there of him learning about, you know, the terrible tragedy at Benghazi. There's a picture of him reacting to the news about Newtown. I don't think either one of those pictures are flattering. Mm-hmm. I think they're honest and authentic.
So here's why I asked the question, Pete, because I'm curious about what you felt your mission was. What was your charge in these 8 years? Was it a journalistic one or something else?
Let me put it this way. I photographed him for almost 4 years as a photojournalist for the Chicago Tribune. The day that I walked into the White House to become his White House photographer, I didn't suddenly start taking pictures in a different way. Now, the difference is that my job, my primary mission as White House photographer was to document his presidency for history. Mm-hmm. That's it. Now, in terms of this book, this was my book. This was not his book. This is my version of what I saw.
Well, I have to say one of the series of photographs that I particularly like, and it's from July 21st, 2011, when the government was on the brink of hitting the debt ceiling, right? And so you've got photographs of Nancy Pelosi sort of pointing her finger at Obama and Joe Biden and Barack Obama taking a walk afterwards. And then you know, they're sitting around in their shirt sleeves later, like on the phone, basically trying to, I guess, work really hard to be sure that they get all the votes they need to keep the government running. And those are the ones I particularly enjoy, right? Because you get to see how the president engaged with key members of the government and sort of the work that went into being president of the United States. I really like that series of photographs as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the challenges I had is so much happened in 8 years, and I couldn't do a 2,000-page book. So I had to make, you know, I had to make some choices. But I was trying to give people a sense of what it was like when these stressful things were taking place.
Yeah, another one of those iconic photographs, I think, people will remember with just a little bit of description, is from May 1st, 2011 in the Situation Room. And it's the photograph where all of the national security advisors, there's Joe Biden, there's the president, there's then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton sitting around watching the taking out of Osama bin Laden. We're watching with them this very difficult decision that the president had to make playing out. Can you tell us what that was like?
Interesting to me is you've got, as you say, all the most powerful people in the federal government in that room. They are essentially powerless. In the days and weeks before, they had made this decision to launch this raid. But now there's nothing they can do to affect the outcome. And for 40 minutes, we were in that room. And it was as tense a situation as I've, you know, was ever in those 8 years. People were just glued to what was taking place. They didn't know, you know, what the outcome was going to be. This could have gone really badly, and I think that's why you see the tension and anxiety in their faces.
What was it like for you in those moments.
This is one of the only times in the Situation Room where there was not a lot of conversation going on. When no one is talking and everyone is just listening and watching, then I'm trying to be as quiet as possible. I don't want people to notice that I'm even there. I mean, one of the things that Hillary said when, for whatever reason, somebody tried to make a controversy that she had her hand over her face, is she said to someone, well, I didn't even know the White House photographer was there. And I was like, yay, because that means I was doing my job.
Well, so given the sensitivity of so much that you witnessed, having that much access to the Obama White House, Pete, were there ever any moments where you were actually asked to leave the room for national security reasons?
Not that I can recall, but one of the examples I tell people is in 2016, I guess, we opened diplomatic relations with Cuba. Well, I had been in meetings for a year where they were discussing this, and I couldn't talk about it even for the captions for our archive. I gave incomplete information because I couldn't let anybody else on my staff know what people were talking about. And so, you know, that was just part of the job.
Yeah. How did the experience of those 8 years change you? What did it mean to you?
Well, I'll tell you what it meant to me. It meant that for 8 years I gave up a lot of my personal life. My family sacrificed a lot, but I felt in order to do this job the right way, I needed to always be there. The one thing, and I could say this about the Reagan administration too, is that I wish people would realize, and I can only speak of these two administrations, Reagan and Obama, there's a lot of really good people that are trying to do the right thing. And oftentimes, the only time you'd ever hear about them is if they, you know, screwed up. I saw so many people that public service was their middle name.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so proud to have been a part of that, to have watched this, to have photographed these people. Did they occasionally make mistakes? Well, of course, we're human, right? That's what I came away with from especially these last 8 years.
Yeah. So we talked about one of the first pictures in the book. The last picture in the book is him in the helicopter flying away from the White House after the Trump administration comes in. Can you tell us about that moment?
This was right after the new president was sworn in at the Capitol. The tradition has always been that the outgoing president boards the helicopter on the east side of the Capitol and flies to Joint Base Andrews, and they have one last trip on Air Force One. And the pilot, instead of taking the direct route to Andrews Air Force Base, made a side swing by the White House. So this is a picture of him, President Obama, looking out the window as we pass over the White House. And he said out loud, presumably to Michelle, "We used to live there," which sort of, you know, there was my heart sank a little bit when he said those words.
Mm-hmm. Well, is this the same photo that is the first Instagram photo that you put up?
I believe it is.
Yeah.
So at noon on January 20th, 2017, I became a private citizen and opened a personal Instagram account. And this was the first picture. I think it was the first picture I posted. I'd have to go back and look. I remember what my caption was, though. My caption was "farewell." That was it. I thought that I didn't need to say anything else besides that.
Looking back, Pete, is there a moment that you shared with President Obama or a conversation that you had with him? I don't know, maybe when just the two of you were in the Oval Office that you keep coming back to?
There's a few, for sure. I tend to not repeat those because I'll let him write his book. But I think one that I think is okay to to say publicly is after Congress passed the Affordable Care Act, we were alone in the Oval Office. He was about to make some thank you calls. And he said something to me like, you know, the good days are never really as good as you think they are, and the bad days are never really as bad as you think they are. And I looked at him and I said, yeah, but today's a pretty damn good day. And he sort of repeated the words, today's a good day. I think that was the happiest day he had, even more so than, you know, the day he was elected president. And I think he said this publicly. He said, you win elections with the hopes of getting things done. And on that particular day, they got some stuff done. And I think he was proud of that.
That's Pete Souza, former chief White House photographer in the Obama administration, speaking with my colleague Meghna Chakrabarty. His new book is Obama, An Intimate Portrait, and he'll be talking about it tonight at a Harvard Bookstore event at the Back Bay Events Center. You can find more information about the book, about tonight's event, and see some of the photos at our website, radioboston.org. That's it for today. Radio Boston's a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show was produced by Jamie Bologna, Chris Satorik, with help from Zoe Mitchell, Cassandra Sunt, and Susie Tapson. Tim Skog is our technical director. Renee Marchando engineered our program today. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.